Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, engineer, entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, and clean energy industry veteran, who now serves as president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Welcome to a special Earth Day edition of Path to Zero. This episode is going to be a little shorter than some, but I think you'll really like the premise. I'm going to guess that when you think about Earth Day, you likely do so with some hope, some optimism, that we can do good things on this little blue marble that we occupy in the solar system, that we can make it sustainable for every generation to come. You know, I have the same feeling, and actually on Earth Day, I talked with a group about the substantial role propane can play in immediately reducing heavy carbon emissions around this planet. At the end of the talk, I asked the audience to determine their role, what was going to be their job in helping reduce carbon emissions, and gave them a few options. Is your role going to be a buyer? Are you the one that can pull low carbon energy into your buying decisions today? If so, then shouldn't most every buying decision include a low carbon consideration? I also ask, is it your role to be a seller? Are you the one who can say, I want more renewable products for my customers? If so, then you can shape the market and influence production. That's pretty powerful stuff. And finally, I ask, is your role to be pragmatically impatient? Can you see the logic of using the lowest carbon energy starting today that also brings resilience to the grid today? You don't have to wait 20 years and spend $20-25 trillion for all electrification. Well, we were on Zoom and I didn't really get any immediate responses, but asking these questions reminded me of a tradition that we have on Path to Zero. You may have noticed that near the end of every episode, I ask my guests the same question. Here's how it typically goes. Guest, I'd like to hand you a magic wand. I want you to use your magic wand to change one thing in the next year regarding climate change and the energy conversation overall. What would you change or like to see done differently that you believe will dramatically improve our ability to move toward a zero emissions future? I'm always interested in their response because often the answers are full of hope and optimism, a perfect sentiment for Earth Day. So I thought it would be great to do a special episode focused on my magic wand question. And I've picked out a few of my favorites over the past several months, and then I'll follow each one with an additional thought or two. I hope you enjoy this. And here's the first one from one of my favorite creative thinkers in the energy space, Tisha Schuler.
I would wave that wand over a bigger tent to address climate change. So what my wish is that as each company sets a decarbonization or an energy future path, that they're met under in the negotiation, my imaginary negotiation tent, by three environmental groups who say, welcome, we're so glad you're here. Let's work on creating the clean energy future together. We waste so much collective energy on these battles. And I do think that because the industry is late to the party of these kind of negotiations and discussion about creating the energy future, that a lot of time there's no one there to meet us when we show up. And I want to make sure that the industry is working constructively with people that have totally different vision of the future so that together we're crafting pragmatic steps forward.
Tisha says a couple things that stick with me. First, she is a big tent person, which I really love. We cannot move effectively down the path to zero if we're not willing to talk to one another and work together to set aggressive goals and lay in practical, achievable milestones. Second, she's talking to us in the industry about being late to the party. You know, she's right. We've got some distance to make up, but as much as fossil fuel consumption has brought us to this point, fossil fuel companies with visionary leaders are equally equipped to take us out if a wide path with lots of solutions is available. If we allow multiple solutions to help us achieve net zero versus mandating narrow requirements, then you know what? Net zero is very achievable. Okay, now it's time to hear from Andy Stone. Andy hosts the podcast Energy Policy Now. He's a senior fellow at the Kleinman Center for Energy Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. He's also a monthly Forbes magazine contributor on energy issues, having written on subjects ranging from decarbonization to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. When I handed Andy his magic wand, here's what he said.
I would love to see the politics taken out of it. You know, we have a real problem on our hands. And I understand that switching the energy system is very threatening to a lot of people. And we owe an incredible debt in this country to the people who have built our energy system in the coal industry, in the oil and gas industries. The wealth of our society is based upon their hard work. And I cannot overstate the debt of gratitude that we owe to them. At the same time, we have entered a new era, I and many believe, in which we have an existential crisis, which is climate. And I would love to see the vitriol taken out of that discussion. I would like to see more discussion about how can we address this problem rationally? How can we look for truths? How can we create opportunity, not just in the clean energy industry, but opportunities for all to take advantage of this? And that's really what I would like to see. And there's one thing I've been thinking about a lot. And, you know, there's just so much opportunity in renewable energy to create stable jobs. I mean, we're going to be reworking our energy system over the next 20, 30, 40 years. And it's never really going to stop. It's going to be huge. It's the basis of our economy. So transitions are hard, and I don't want to understate that. But there is a lot of new opportunity if we take it. So that's kind of my view.
Andy, he really knows how to use the magic wand, doesn't he? You know, in my travels, I get to meet a lot of people who have dug in on one side or another related to the climate change conversation. And after talking to them, I find myself a little bit exhausted by their overcommitment to their position and underappreciation for needing to nudge toward solutions. Interestingly, I don't think many people resist the idea of a net zero future. It's really pretty hard to argue that you want more CO2 in the atmosphere because we know the implications. Both Andy and Tisha are telling us that we ought to put ourselves under a bigger tent and stay there to hash through the challenging conversations. That's the message I hear loud and clear. At the same time, I'm also talking to people about the importance of focusing on innovation. If we can believe that things like the electric grid can be improved, can't the same thing be true for clean energies, including propane? I probably ought to do a special episode on all the innovation happening with propane alone, and we're just one of several energy sources with a huge amount of promise. Well, here's another space, carbon capture, and a really amazing person working in that technology, Dr. Sabine Foos. Dr. Foos is an economist. She leads a research group at the Mercator Research Institute on Global Commons and Climate Change in Berlin. She was also part of the original United Nations panel on climate change to assess the science, risks, and impacts on global warming.
My wish would be that carbon removal stops being a side topic and that it enters the mainstream discussion so we can work out actual roadmaps for carbon removal. And that could actually very well include the possibility that we decide to do relatively little removal and have more emissions reductions on the demand side. As I said before, I think it's not for us scientists to make that decision, but I think it's high time that we actually get to have that discussion. And that would be my wish.
And here's one of my favorite guests, Tilak Doshi. Dr. Doshi has worked in the oil and gas sector as an economist, both private industry and in think tanks, in Asia, the Middle East, and the United States over the past 30 years. As a consultant for Mew, Stansel & Company, he writes extensively, He was a senior research fellow at the Middle East Institute and was principal and head of the Energy Economics Department in the Energy Studies Institute of the National University of Singapore. Here's what he said when I handed him his magic wand.
I came prepared for that question. I knew that was one of the tough questions that you put me into. And it took me very little time to think about it in my head prior to this interview, but I would say, let science flourish. Let there be blue teams and red teams. Let every major area of science be debated contentiously by opposing views, the way NASA does for its internal programs and its space program. Let there be debate. Let the disinfectant of open debate drive out bad ideas and bring in good ideas.
Okay. This may feel like I'm off in the wilderness for a moment, but just stay with me. Some of you may remember the late and very great U.S. Congresswoman from Texas, Barbara Jordan. During the Watergate hearings in the mid-70s, she said this very famous quote, "My faith in the Constitution is whole. It is complete. It is total." You know, I really can't do her justice, but let me paraphrase it for my own purposes. My faith in science and technology and our ability to innovate is whole. It is complete. It is total. And I do believe we can invent our way to a net zero future. Yes, it will take breakthrough thinking and it will require change. But if nothing else, humans have shown an astonishing ability to change, adapt. We can and must continue to do so. You know, it's a real honor to be able to talk to thinkers like Sabine and Tilak. What they say gives me so much optimism and hope. And as you can tell, I can get revved up about the idea of innovation. Okay, one last really interesting wave of the magic wand is coming up. This time it's from Julia Piper. When we talked, Julia was the senior editor at Green Tech covering the clean energy movement, and she still is a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, an international affairs think tank. At the time, she was hosting a podcast called Political Climate, which was an inside the trenches view on how energy and climate decisions get made and then the political interests that power them. Since so much of the climate change conversation has to do with politics, this seems like a fitting magic wand response to wrap up our Earth Day special.
I wish there was a way to massively aggregate everyone's needs on a local level, kind of as I alluded to before, to make sure that whatever we do, whatever happens going forward, really serves the people and benefits their lives and livelihoods and their health. Because I feel like we get caught up in these modeling exercises and political positioning, but what do the people really want? I don't know. I became a journalist because that's what I wanted to do, was really speak on behalf, not on behalf of, I wanted to help give information to people so they can make better choices in their lives. So I wish that there was a way that we could craft our solutions in the climate and energy space that really put people's well-being first. Not everyone's going to be Jeff Bezos, but how do we make sure that people's livelihoods are guaranteed, that their health is improved in time? So I don't have a single metric for that, but I think there are smart policy solutions out there. But that would be my number one priority if I were a leader of the world, is how do we really make a human-centric solution happen here?
To a great extent, I believe Julia is touching on the subject of energy equity. Everyone ought to benefit from the energy transition that we're in right now. Everyone ought to have access to clean energy, and as a result, clean air to breathe, clean water to drink. We can make sure people's livelihoods are protected and promoted as we head toward a net zero future, but innovation is going to be the key. Smart policy that ensures access to clean and renewable energies like propane is going to be key. And I can't help but take away from this special episode that optimism, not fear or dread, is going to be the most important attribute. Hope, not hopelessness that fuels bitter division and finger pointing that gets us nowhere. Hope is going to be the feeling that carries us towards a net zero future. Let's find wins where we can. Let's celebrate those. Let's appreciate the people making them possible. And let's use this Earth Day to recommit ourselves to the revitalizing and life-sustaining work ahead. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this special edition of Path to Zero.
This has been Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. Subscribe and learn more at cleanamericanenergy.us. And if you like what you have heard, rate us on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts.